Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I'm happy to be able to share God's word with all of you. When we were singing here, I was thinking how Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." So, do you believe that? I think you do. That right from the beginning, when we started the meeting, Jesus was here. So, when we sang, were you conscious that you were talking to him? Or were you just going along with the music and enjoying the song? I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Please remember, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And if you hear anything here that you feel condemned by, it's not because I'm condemning you, it's the devil is twisting it before it reaches your heart and trying to condemn you. Don't listen to him. There is no condemnation this weekend for anybody. Please remember that from the very first moment. We're only trying to lead people higher. You know, when you read this beautiful verse in Revelation 4, where John says, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Come up higher." And I've often felt, in every conference, that's what the Lord is speaking to every person. Don't be satisfied with the level at which you're living. Come up higher. He's inviting us. And he'll help us. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming down is to lift us higher. So that's all I'm trying to say. Come up to a higher level when you sing. It won't come in a day. It may take months, perhaps, for you to gradually come to the place where every time you sing, you're conscious you're singing to Jesus himself. For example, if I'm talking, or if you're talking to me, and or I'm talking to you, if I'm talking to you and I look here and there, not even bothered that you're there, you'd wonder whether I'm really talking to you, right? If I'm talking to you, I will be conscious that you're there. Now apply that to Jesus in our midst. Do you really feel you were talking to him during this singing time? That's something we can develop. Everything comes by constant practice. Freedom in prayer. Freedom in praising the Lord. Regular reading of the scriptures. Everything comes by persistent practice, never giving up. So after some time, if you keep doing it, it'll become a habit. There's a saying in English, you sow an act, you'll reap a habit, and you sow a habit, you'll reap a character. But it begins with an action. So in the beginning you say, Lord, supposing you say today to the Lord Jesus, Lord, most of the time I'm singing, I'm not even conscious that you're here. I'm just enjoying the song and probably following the words, sometimes not even following the words because I know it so well. And I'm sorry, Lord, that I was not aware of your presence. Try saying that. Not right now, but when you go home, say, Lord, I'm sorry that I wasn't aware of your presence, but I want to be. Please help me. And if you try from tomorrow onwards when you sing, I tell you it won't happen overnight. It'll take time. I've had to remind myself so many times for months on end before I now begin to think more and more and I sing, I'm speaking to Jesus who is here. It'll make a difference in your life, I tell you. Because when we sense the presence of the Lord, it does make a difference in our life. Sometimes we read the Bible so many times, and then all of a sudden a verse hits you. So here's something that I've read many times, I believed in, but it hit me. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, the very first sermon preached on the day of Pentecost. And Peter was preaching, and first he, in a nutshell, in a few sentences, he gave the gospel. Acts 2 verse 22 to 24. The whole gospel is there. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God, that means the Son of God, came to earth as a man. That's one of the first truths of the gospel. He came to earth as a man. And then attested by miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him. That was to prove that he was the Son of God. So here's the rest of the gospel. This man delivered not accidentally, but according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men. But God raised him up from the dead and put an end to the agony of death because it was impossible for him to. The death and resurrection of Christ, that's the central message of the gospel. And then he tells us something about the way Jesus lived on the earth. You know, our theme for this conference is, all shall know me, says the Lord, from the least to the greatest. So here, it says about Jesus, David says about Christ, this is how Christ lived on the earth. I saw the Lord always in my presence. He's talking about the Father. That when Jesus lived, he saw the Father always in his presence. Just like we say, we want to live in the presence of the Lord all the time. You practice it when you're singing, and gradually you come to the place where you recognize his presence everywhere you go. I saw the Lord. Now say that to yourself. Lord, I want this in my life. It's been a tremendous blessing in my life. This quotation from Psalm 16. I saw the Lord always in my presence, and he's at my right hand. That is Psalm 16 in verses 8 to 11. I saw the Lord always in my presence, and he's my right hand. I shall not be shaken. If that verse can be true of your life, it can radically transform your life and change it. It's a verse that I've sought to experience for quite some years now. I saw the Lord always in my presence, and he's at my right hand as well, so that I won't be shaken, I won't fall into sin. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue exults, my flesh will also live in hope. And the last part of that psalm in verse 28, you will make me full of gladness with your presence. In Psalm 16, it says in verse 11, in your presence is fullness of joy. If you're not familiar with that verse, please turn back. This quotation is from Psalm 16. And what we read in Acts chapter 2 shows us that that is how Jesus lived on this earth. Psalm 16, verse 8. This is what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this is a prophetic reference to Jesus Christ. I set the Father always before me. And he's also at my right hand, that I will not be shaken, means I will not even be shaken by sin, leave alone fall into it. And therefore my heart is glad and my heart glory rejoices. And he goes on to say in verse 11, the middle, in your presence, and I live in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. The way that has come to me is, any time in my life when I don't have joy in my heart, I have to say according to that verse, I am not in the presence of the Lord. Because it says here, in his presence there is fullness of joy. Why am I not having fullness of joy at this particular time? I say to myself, I am not in the Lord's presence. I've said that to myself again and again and again and again, many times in different situations. I said, Lord, I don't seem to be rejoicing. The Bible says, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. But it doesn't tell us in Philippians how to experience that. That it tells us here. That can only come if we dwell in the presence of the Lord. Because in his presence, there is no gloom. There is no condemnation. There is fullness of joy. Not just joy, but fullness of joy. And if you work on it and ask the Holy Spirit to make it real in your life, you will experience this, what I call the normal Christian life. Well, most Christians are living a subnormal Christian life. The normal Christian life is to have fullness of joy all the time. We have pressures, we have temptations, many things to make us anxious and worried, and I've faced as much as you and more than you, considering that I'm 85 years old now. But in God's presence there is fullness of joy. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And more than any other doctrine, this is what I've sought for in my life now from the recent past few years. Lord, I want to dwell in your presence. The answer to everything is there. If I have a doubt and the Lord is there, I can ask him straight away.